This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joe and Mark's Travel Hour, and we're going to talk about something quite unique today. What are we talking about, Joe?
It's a cruisy time of the week, but and you're on Joy 94.9, the Escape Pod. This afternoon show is going to be pretty much focused about travel and being fit to travel, because there's no point having the airline ticket and the accommodation booked if you physically can't get on the plane.
So if you're not fit for purpose, that's my internal lawyer coming out. So you do need to be fit for purpose, right?
You have to be so fit for purpose.
So are we calling this hot to globetrot?
We are calling this hot to globetrot.
Very good. So I can see that you've just put your calisthenics pants on. You've been doing a bit of bending and stretching in the corner, reaching for the stars.
I have. I think it was, I'm just trying to remember, it wasn't play school, was it?
Miss Helena and Mr. Doobie.
Yeah, it was the wrong show, but we did bend and stretch and reach for the stars. This afternoon, we've got Chris, who's going to talk to us about travel and fitness.
Chris is a personal trainer. He is also a person who went through the Taste of Radio course with Joe and me, and we recently graduated all together. And it's great to have Chris engaged and on board and be able to talk to us later on the program. We're really looking forward to that. He's got some amazing advice. What we want is the listeners.
We certainly do. We'd love people to SMS into us on 0427JOY949 or to email at onair@joy.org.au.
What are your questions? We've had amazing questions from people previously. Email, SMS in, call in 1300JOY949. We can take a message. We won't be able to put you live to air, sorry, but we will talk about your questions. It's your show. We are a community station. We're about you. We want to hear all about your questions, and we're going to put them to Chris.
We will, and we'll also have a roundup of the top world travel events for the Joy community.
Fantastic.
We have got our fitness guru to talk about travel and fitness and staying fit to travel. Chris, good afternoon and welcome to the Escape Pod.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
I'm exhausted after listening to Physical.
Physical, yeah, no, you're bopping away there, I noticed, in the middle of the track. Great.
I just can't stop bopping. It's just what I do.
And thank you, Chris, for joining us in your cobalt blue Lycra hot pants.
That's thank you, Marcus.
Very themed to the ONJ track that we just listened to.
Dressed to the part.
Dressed to impress. Very good. It's a shame this is not a visual medium.
Yes, I think it's probably a good thing, really. Yes.
So, Chris, tell us. You've done a lot of travel in your life.
I have, yes.
What's the most important thing that everybody needs to bear in mind when it comes to their fitness?
Sure. Well, I think if you're going to travel, even if you're not traveling, the most important thing is just to be a little bit prepared. Certainly, there's lots of things you can do when you travel, traveling holidays and traveling for work, but a little bit of preparation and you're going to be safe. I mean, the worst thing you want to do is if you go on a traveling holiday, like whether it be skiing or any sort of holiday, you have an injury. And injuries can be prevented so easily just with a bit of preparation and just make sure your body's ready for the work you're going to do.
So, Chris, is the first thing that I do is run down and join the local gym and sign up for a 12-month membership and pay $80 a month? And is that what I do?
Well, do you think it'll work for you?
You're looking at someone who goes to the gym 5 times a week.
Oh, wow. You're an exception, perhaps. So, generally, yeah, gyms are okay, but, probably about 90% of the population don't really go to the gym. And I'll kind of point over
so
there.
So, if they're not going to go to the gym, how are we going to get people travel fit?
Sure. So, I think a good theme, if you like, is to talk about getting active and movement. So if you look at our lifestyles, how we live these days, very sedentary. We tend to, electronic age has really got us sitting down and sending MMSs or SMSs these days, or messages, iMessages. We really don't move around as much as we used to, whether it be emails, video conferencing, etc. So getting active and movement is moving in, you know, natural ways is very effective, and that's really the path that even the health industry is taking. It's actually moving away from traditional box gyms and using machinery, so sitting down and doing a little press with your arms, or pressing up or pressing down or pulling levers, because we don't move that way. We move in natural ways. So using your body and getting active. And that could be, so really looking at what you do at the moment and saying, well, okay, if my 9 to 5, or even, because who works 9 to 5? We probably work longer hours these days. But if you're not moving as much as you used to and you're going away on a bit of a holiday, whether, you know, you name it, some people go away for boot camp holidays or skiing holidays, and they wonder why they come, you know, end up with an injury. So,
well, we're on the way to the ski season. We've hit autumn.
Yes,
we've got the extra hour from mm-hmm. daylight savings. So, if we are thinking of hitting the slopes,
yes,
in Falls Creek this season, how much time do we need to get fit,
sure,
and what should we be doing?
Yeah, well, I guess it's an individual thing, really. But if you, it's important to think about, okay, what am I doing as an individual? And some of the tests you can almost do is, you know, a simple movement would be a lunge. A lunge is a step forward and basically requires core strength and stability to keep yourself upright. And that's generally one of the tests that I would perform on somebody who wants to exercise and say, right, let's have a look. Let's do about 5 lunges in a row and just see how you go with that.
Oh, 5?
Yeah.
I thought you said 1.
Well, usually it's about 15, actually. And the test can go up to triplicates. So, you know, you can generally get a gauge of how a lunge is an interesting exercise because it uses lots of muscle groups at the same time. So, again, away from single-use machinery, you know, like a leg press is just going to really just work specific parts of the leg. So the movement, getting active and moving is really the key for anyone who wants to increase their fitness and build some strength across the body. So, yeah, you don't need to go to a gym, really. That's why it's great that you go 5 times a week.
So if we're not going to the gym, we're doing a few sets of lunges. Are we doing any other kind of group exercise? What else would you recommend that we put into that pre-ski season fitness?
Sure. So for skiing, if you want to be specific for skiing, a lot of it is leg work and there is core stability involved in that. So basically you would start with things such as squats and lunges, but also you want to do some fast twitch type work, so fast dynamic work. So
what's fast twitch?
Basically,
explain that?
Not your slow.
Can you?
Yeah. So our muscle fibers can be comprised of slow twitch and fast twitch muscles.
All right.
And everyone's different. There's actually, you can't really, I can't look at you and say, right, you are 80% fast twitch muscle and 20% slow. It's quite different. And in fact, we can't even really just test for it by looking at you. We actually need to take a bit of a biopsy of your muscle and then send it off to a lab.
This is getting really involved.
We don't want to get there. So in simple terms, exercise that requires a bit of fast jumping. So if we took a step, for example, mm-hmm. let's say half a foot off the ground, and we had you jumping up and down off that with your feet together, you'll probably find that's going to be a bit tricky to start with. So you'll mix it up with your slow squats, heavy-based, you know, heavy squats. You might carry 10, 20 kilos. Start with some leg work. So a squat's quite impressive because it works your glutes, it works your quadriceps, works your hamstrings, works your lower back, works a whole lot of stuff. But then you introduce some fast action movement in there as well. And the fast stuff is going to get you puffed quickly, but it'll prepare you for the ski slopes,
okay,
if you're talking ski slopes.
Will these exercises help prevent injury?
Well, yes. Well, what they're going to do is actually help to strengthen your muscles. And also you'll find that if you have unusual tightness, which is another factor to look out for if you're going to exercise. And you'll know if you've got unusual tightness because you'll generally have potentially some lower back pain, lower back sort of tension. You might have some tension in the legs. Then, yeah, that tightness once you start to exercise can actually get even tighter. So, yeah, you would there'll be some warning signs before you go on your holiday to see how your body is. And, we're just talking legs or skiing-specific exercises, but there's a range of other exercises we can do that will actually give you a good indicator as to how your body's functioning.
So what are some other kinds of exercises for specific kinds of travel that you know of that you work with your clients on? Do you work with people going to Kokoda and doing 1,000 steps? Do you work on those programs?
Yes, definitely. If you're taking the something like walking a hiking track and such.
We have a amazing guest today here on the Escape Pod talking to Joe and Mark. We have Chris. Chris is a personal trainer and he's done a lot of work with people who are preparing to travel and also people who are in preparation to go away for fitness purposes. And this is really quite interesting. We know when you go skiing, you need to make sure that you can get off-piste at the end of the day safely. We know the all-important need to get into the speedos when you go for beach holidays. Chris, what are some of the kind of holidays people take for fitness?
Sure, there's holidays that, certainly some overseas holidays that have been very popular. Thailand's one of those places. And you can, you'll find that you can just get, you know, for the cost of an airfare is probably the bulk of it. Once you're over there for $10 a day, you pretty much eat and live like a king. And you've got, yeah, people wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And
I don't know any kings to do that.
Well, 6 o'clock in the morning and you're off running around all the mountains doing things like Muay Thai boxing. You can do things like...
Talk to us, what's Muay Thai boxing?
Ah, it's the traditional Thai boxing, basically. It's quite a full-on boxing type of approach where there's kicking, there's punching, there's contact sport, there's grappling. So it's not for the... You know,
is it like a mixed-use martial art?
Yeah. Well, it's a form. Yeah, there is mixed martial arts is another very heavy contact sport.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's done a bit of in a cage. So those guys don't hold back. So it's a lot more dangerous.
Okay, I'm sorry, gentlemen, but I was thinking travel for fitness meant go to an ashram and learn yoga.
Well, we're getting to cage dancing, I think.
All right,
taking that travel arc.
So let's go with other forms of travel. There's actually some interesting stuff, like there's mother and baby boot camp, which I think is quite a cool one, isn't it?
You can get the new definition of baby booties.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, instead of 5 hours a week that some mothers may do for exercises, at least 5 hours a day exercising with your baby.
So how fit does a baby get? I've never seen a baby with abs.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the intention, isn't it? Gotta work.
So, Chris, once you've been away, and we're assuming we've had the trip of a lifetime, whether it's been for vacation or we've done the boot camp,
yep.
What happens when we get home? How do we get back into that routine of travelling to then stay fit so that should the email arrive in our inbox that says, you've won the round the world trip, how can I confidently get the passport out and say, yep, I'm good to go?
You're good to go. Well, I guess lifestyle is a big factor. I mean, when I sit down with people that are talking about getting into exercise, the question that always comes up is, you know, how's your lifestyle? What are you doing what component of your day has some activity in it? And again, coming back to being getting active and movement, and the physical movement that we tend to do is becoming less and less each day. So, if it really is relative to what you're doing. So, if you're heading overseas and you're going to do a skiing holiday or you're going to do a surfing holiday, and a lot of this does, core is one of those things that gets mentioned a lot these days. Pilates works quite specifically on core. So I guess one of the things that's important to do, and you can do a few little exercises at home, there's things that you can do such as planks, and you can do some push-ups if you like, and some very simple routines that you can do in the comfort of, you know, a local park or your own home. And you can get a fairly quick gauge as to how strong your body is. Strength is something you can build up relatively quickly. Cardiovascular fitness you can build up a lot quicker than, of course, what your muscles will build up. So within 2 to 3 weeks, your cardiovascular fitness can be up quite high if you haven't exercised for a while.
We've got a listener question in. This is in from John from Heathmont. He wants to know about pedometers for tracking incidental movement.
Ah, yes, pedometers. Very inexpensive these days. You can actually, for a few dollars, you can actually get yourself a little plastic pedometer. Or if you've got a smartphone, there's apps that basically you can download for free. And they utilize a little sensors in your smartphones. So pedometers are handy because there's been a promotion or a bit of a movement called the 10,000 steps. 10,000 steps is basically the equivalent to walking. Basically, let me see if I can remember the statistics. But 10,000 steps basically gives you... burns a reasonable amount of calories and keeps you fairly fit. So a pedometer is a neat way of checking on what is happening with your with your activity. So yeah, a good way to see if you're moving enough during the day is to actually walk 10,000 steps, and you'll find that the good thing about a pedometer too is it's exercise is accumulative. So for example, you don't need to get up in the morning or at one part of your day and do a whole hour of exercise. You can actually say, well, I'm going to add it, accumulate it. And you might do, 10 minutes in the morning. You might go for a brisk walk before breakfast. You can do some walking around the office. You can do some walking around at lunchtime. You can do some walking after afternoon, walking home. Then at night, if you get home and you look at your pedometer, it says 8,000 steps. Go for a bit more of a walk, get your 10,000 steps done, and basically you've that can be your movement for the day. So you don't need to train in a solid block.
So is that in addition to, or is that the inclusive of the 30 minutes? Explain that. How does that work? I mean, surely you want to keep your heart rate up for a while, so how can you break it down? What's
Well, the idea of something, 10,000 steps is you're going to burn a certain amount of calories, and in terms of if someone wants to lose weight, basically an hour of walking is very effective for losing weight. Half an hour of walking is good for cardiovascular fitness and good for your heart. But if people that want to lose weight, generally we find that their activity tends to be, it doesn't really exceed 30 minutes. So pushing that up to an hour as a lifestyle change is very effective.
And so a total hour instead of 60 trips to the fridge.
Absolutely. Look, total time for the day of 1 hour. Yeah.
Okay, great. but hopefully together if possible.
Oh, no, it's not that important, actually. It is cumulative.
Yeah. Cumulative. All right, that's fantastic. I didn't know that. So now when you're travelling and you're in the air, you can be going to Europe and that'll take about 24 hours.
Yes.
What are your recommendations for some onboard fitness? Do you have any special treats that they haven't told us about, rolling our ankles and making sure we don't get deep vein thrombosis?
Deep vein thrombosis, yeah, the controversial. Look, I think sleep is the best thing in long flights. Yeah, and exercise when you're when you get to the other end, it's a long way up there, isn't it? There's not a lot of room to do any star jumps on an airplane.
no treadmills. So what's the best place to go to travel for fitness in your mind?
What's
Chris's choice?
My choice would most likely be Thailand. I've been there several times. I've got some, and you can be any age really to go to some of these places. I mean, one of my clients, also a friend, has been to Thailand 30 times, and because you just arrive there and it's all looked after for you. So you can have yourself a massage in the morning and at night, and you can have lovely fresh food throughout the day, and you've got lots of activities. And the massage might cost you $5. You know, it's a very different way of living than what it is over here.
Absolutely.
In Australia as well, I mean, that's a beautiful place in Queensland. You've got Tasmania. You can do some terrific hikes, mm-hmm. some of the best hikes in the world, I believe. So you don't really need to go far. And and you'll find that there's packages where they pamper you. So, you'll exhaust yourself, and you might have sore muscles. As we were chatting earlier about your exercise experience and you're getting sore muscles, you were saying, Joe?
Yes, I had an unexpected trek in just outside of Mexico City at the Nevada de Toluca, which is 4,700 metres above sea level.
Yes.
And I was actually there for a conference, so I didn't take my hiking boots.
Oops, it is.
And I found myself on one of the...
In a pair of Blahniks.
Yes, almost. It was a very trusty pair of Timberlands that got me through it, but they were the Timberland loafers, not the boots.
Right.
Yes, the tip there is don't ever let your partner choose the non-conference activity.
Mm. Right. But you're saying also, Joe, that you were sore 2 days after that activity.
Yeah, I was expecting that I would have been really sore in the first 24 hours, but it was actually, it was the next day that I really was aware that I had probably pushed myself and wasn't wearing the right gear to do the activity that I'd been participating in.
Yeah, but you're sore 2 days after you? Is that,
Yeah,
so that's called DOMS, or delayed offset muscle soreness. So if anyone has an exercise for a while, and then they're sort of thinking, well, yeah, I feel pretty good, the next day. Give it another day. It's usually 2 days after you'll notice a bit of tightness and soreness.
Sounds like that's like post-traumatic stress for your body. Is that another way of thinking about it?
If you don't like movement, that's what it is, yeah. Your muscles are trying to tell you something.
Well, Chris has been talking to us about DOMS and nothing about subs yet, but I'm sure that we can move on to that later. Thank you, Chris, very much. We'll make sure that your contact details are up on the Escape Pod Facebook page in case people have any questions for you afterwards that they didn't get to email or SMS in.
Sure.
Joe has a bunch of other events which are further afield. Joe, tell us about these events.
I can't help myself. I just look at the event calendar and I think, where would I really like to be travelling and escaping to? Mm. So the first one that is an absolute must is the Life Ball. It's on the 25th of May in Vienna, and the theme for this year's Life Ball is 1001 Nights. It is a red carpet of who's who that attends this event. There's only 3,780 tickets. The event is actually held in the Town Hall in Vienna. Previously, some of the guests have been Antonio Banderas, our very own Kylie, Liza Minnelli. Kylie from Camberwell. Elton John has made an appearance there. And this year, after the Moroccan-themed gala ball, there will be a Roberto Cavalli fashion parade.
Leopard print.
And more leopard print.
I went to the Cavalli Club in Dubai.
And?
Well, it wasn't all leopard print. There was a lot of zebra. And that was just on the patrons. Yeah. not everyone's cappuccino.
Well, if you're looking for something that's perhaps just not quite going to break the bank to the extent of Vienna, there is the Guelph Pride Festival on in Ontario, Canada.
You can't see this, but my hand is up. What is a Guelph and why are they proud?
Well, Guelphs are not Ghibellines. And we might
What's a Ghibelline, Joe? And why are they not Guelphs?
It's a political perspective that really came about from the Middle Ages. Guelphs and Ghibellines, secular versus religious political groups.
I can see why they're so proud.
Yeah, I know. Your eyes are glazing over right now. Mm. So that's from the 6th to the 11th of May. And they have a
century.
21st century. Their Spring Has Sprung dance party. And the last event that we just have to mention is from the 23rd to the 26th of May. It is the Eilat Pride Parade in Israel.
Shabbat Shalom to all our Hebrew cousins.
It is, yes.
Although
Crown
you shouldn't
Plaza.
Be listening to the radio on the Shabbos. So it's a big, big event and heavily attended by people all around the Mediterranean that go to the Eilat Festival. I haven't been. Chris, your experiences in the Mediterranean are quite strong.
Yeah, so I've got European background, of course. Yeah.
Have you managed to get to an event, like a big European Pride event in summer?
No, I haven't actually. It will be quite an experience, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Because
the weather is out of this world at this time of the year.
Yeah. Very different lifestyle too to what we're accustomed to. I mean, certainly around Europe, the weather is so much finer. There's a lot more, out in the beaches, a lot more tanned people, isn't there? Mm-hmm. But I think probably a bit more active than what we tend to be over here. Their lifestyle is a lot more of a...
Mediterranean,
different food as well as what they eat. So
awesome food. Israeli cuisine is amazing because it takes in the best of the Arab world as well as the European world. They really do have great food. There's of course not everything's kosher, which isn't so flash unless you're really into chicken soup for the soul.
Mark, we need to say goodbye to Chris.
Goodbye, Chris. Thank you for coming. We really appreciate it.
That's right. My pleasure. It's great. And happy to answer any other questions that come through.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time today.
Pleasure. Great. Thanks, guys.
Joe on Escape Pod and Mark, we're talking about a bunch of different things. Right now, we're going to talk about some travel etiquette.
We are going to talk about some travel etiquette. And
so you've popped on your hyacinth bouquet frock.
I have. Don't get anywhere near my periwinkle blue Royal Doulton cups.
And a shout out to the Royal Daltons while we're here. So, Joe, what is the hot topic of the day?
Well, as you know, I do like to keep up to date with what's happening in the flying world by subscribing to Flyer Talk, which is a really great monthly email that comes through.
So what's that website?
FlyerTalk.com.
.com, yeah, great.
Yeah, so you subscribe and the threads of conversation that come through are really quite terrific. And the one that I did like from this week was how a mother explained to her daughter why the people were in business class. She explained that they were people who had been naughty and they had to sit by themselves and not sit next to their friends, and that's why they were in the big seats at the front of the plane.
I want to be naughty because that is no discouragement to me whatsoever. I like sitting in the front of the plane. I like turning left. I got to admit it. Do you?
North of the curtain is where I, of course, like to be.
NOC.
Most NOC. Definitely.
So when it comes to getting upgrades, Joe, there is...
It's an urban myth.
It's not an urban myth at all. You can get it, but you've got to be careful. And this is what we're talking about today in travel etiquette. How do you get that upgrade? We're actually going to have a special guest coming up in the future who's going to teach us what are the best ways. You know what the best way is?
Use your frequent flyer points.
Or pay. The more money you give the airline, the more likely they are to upgrade you.
This is true. I'm not sure that everybody I know likes the idea of handing over $8,000 for a return ticket to London with one of our major carriers.
They just need to be naughty. You have to be naughty to be nice. So what are your tips? How have you managed it before?
Well, I have actually only managed upgrades in the past when it has been as a result of the carrier apologising.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I think the times that I've managed to get upgrades, and as thrilled and as grateful as I have been for them, were because I was a frequent traveller at the time for business. So I did have a gold level card, and I did have a lot of points. They don't deduct points. But it was always for the shortest journeys I've ever taken.
It's funny how they pick the short sector, isn't it?
Yeah, Dubai to Beirut, 3 hours. It's like, oh, okay, at 7 a.m. And they're bringing out the French champagne, they're bringing out the Dom Perignon, and that's fantastic. But at 7 a.m., that's the last thing I wanted, which is the first thing I got. And thrilled to bits, had half a glass of it, realised they'd opened a bottle for nothing. There was no other takers. And it felt wonderfully decadent. But
there is some joy, though, in maintaining a copy of the booking reference upgrade number. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That can be pulled out in emergencies. If it's a valid reference number, mm-hmm. that can assist in persuading someone on the desk to reconsider your boarding pass.
But everybody's asking. Everybody asks for the free upgrade. So you're never going to be the first in that flight to ask for it. So if you want a surefire way of turning left when you hit the plane, bring some plastic. That's the only surefire way that it's going to work.
Definitely. Even dressing well apparently doesn't help, although that doesn't dissuade
like
me.
Like they care how you dress. As long as you're not wearing anything offensive. We're now talking about travel and the movies.
Yes, and, I realise that a lot of people get so excited about seeing a movie, maybe even seeing a TV show, and they want to go and be where their favourite actor or actress was, or they want to see the view with their own eyes.
I've got a friend at the moment, actually a mutual friend of ours, is currently in San Francisco, and I know that she is following in some of Armistead Maupin's footsteps for Tales of the City. And she has been to this city before. Would love to have her come on in the future and talk to us about her adventures. And she's off to New York and Colorado and a whole bunch of other places right now live, and was chatting to her on Facebook before. She's having an amazing time. But there are lots of movies, particularly Paris, of course, London and the United States.
Yeah, but then, of course, people come to Australia and they travel here to do the Neighbours tour.
Cinema, Neighbours... little from column A, little from column B. I don't think anybody has been inspired by Baz Luhrmann's Australia.
Probably not.
No. No.
I don't.
Has anyone seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. No.
Heath? Heath has seen it. Yeah. Twice. Okay. Glad to meet both of the people who have seen it. Well, but there are a bunch of other films that are city-based, country-based, that are all about travel, and we're not talking just throw mama from the train.
No, look, we're not. But we also have to remember, of course, that it's not what everybody likes to do. So you can be travelling with... Well, I have... I do digress just a little bit. The Ballykiss Angel tour, which mm-hmm. is about the television show Ballykiss Angel. The tour takes place in County Wicklow mm-hmm. in Ireland.
Beautiful.
We were over in Ireland in 2000 to escape the Olympics. And when I say we, it was my partner at the time. My sister had organised to get married in northern Italy. And my mother was travelling with a girlfriend. And you know how you have that conversation before you get on the plane together, the do's, the don'ts, mm-hmm. the no-go areas. Well, all of that was agreed to until they got to Dublin. And my mother found out that her girlfriend was going to take her on the Ballykiss Angel tour.
Oh, harrowing. Oh, good. Which of the two
well,
was it?
Well, I was staying in a beautiful castle.
Right.
Kilbritton Castle, and I got a frantic phone call from my mother.
Rewind. There is an Irish castle called Kilbritton?
There is indeed. It's down south on the way to Kinsale. And it is absolutely divine.
They've been smoking the Mull of Kintyre to name that.
It was a fabulous
Kilbritton
state.
Castle. Are you kidding
Kilbritton.
Me?
Kilbritton. You just say it quickly.
I don't think it should be said at all, particularly as we're about to inter the late, great Margaret Thatcher, who inspired so much of British killing. Anyway.
Back to the story. The story goes this way.
Who remembers?
I get a frantic phone call. There is no way my mother's going on the Ballykiss Angel tour. We had to get her on a train to meet us in Galway.
Why did she? Was she recoiling in horror at the thought of bumping into... Who was on Ballykiss Angels?
I just can't even remember. But there are good things to travel to.
Yes,
so
there are.
You do have to make sure that if you're travelling with a friend that you've cleared the no-go areas.
Ballykiss Angel was she was not going to be Ballykissed.
She was
right,
no way. But look at what's happened lately in Pondicherry after the Life of Pi.
It's gone mad. mad.
It has gone mad, absolutely. And I was thinking about what are the films that would inspire me to travel? And the one that keeps coming to mind, other than Casablanca, would be Blade Runner. I would like to be in LA in 2019 and just see how bad it looks.
Well, 2019 is coming up and there are parts of LA and you just have to hang around and wait for all that pouring, seeping rain. Maybe within the next 6 years we'll have enough global climate change that it will be a tropical environment and there'll be cyborgs.
I think it's quite possible.
Murderous cyborgs. With any luck. I think New York's my favourite city for walking around and just seeing how many films have shot. You basically know how to navigate yourself. Okay, it's a grid system, but you basically know how to navigate yourself in Manhattan purely because of all these landmarks that you have become accustomed to and familiarised through watching TV and film all through your life from amazing different stories, amazing different genres, and they all have this incredible backdrop of New York City. Ironically enough, a lot of it was shot on sets in Los Angeles on the other side of the country.
That's so true. And there's nothing quite like, I think, being in the elevator and then taking those final steps up in the Empire State Building and just having a flashback to an affair to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And the tears, they just come uncontrollably.
Mm.
You just think of Deborah Carr and you look at the Statue of Liberty and you think, I'm standing here.
Looking at stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. The strings start playing.
Okay.
So, Joe, have you got a movie that you're about to see, that you're about to walk down those footsteps?
Well, I was thinking...
Because you're about to do some travel.
Oh, I am about to do some travel. And I do need to catch up with you before the end of the show. I've got a burning question about one night or two in a special city. Most importantly, the news of the week. What has been happening in travel, Mark, around the world?
Well, I think one of the biggest stories that this week in travel is Beyonce and Jay-Z taking their fifth anniversary trip to Cuba.
They've been to Cuba 5 times?
No, their fifth wedding anniversary.
Oh, right.
No word if they took their child with them. There's a kerfuffle because Jay-Z wrote a song saying that he had White House clearance for the trip. And because of the 51-year-old embargo between the United States and Cuba, they have not allowed trade without government permission, which actually comes through the Treasury. But I believe White House is much easier to rhyme than Treasury. So maybe that's why he used a bit of poetic license. He is an artist. Go for it, Jay-Z. Mad props. But he and his wife have caused a huge stink for a lot of Americans because they are flouting a rule about trading and travelling to Cuba. Recently, there has been a relaxation for people with Cuban families and their ability to go back and travel to Cuba. But this is a big story. Two of the most powerful people in the world through their influence in entertainment are in Havana, Cuba. I don't know if they returned, but it was a story this week. Looking great, by the way. The photography that's come out of it, Beyonce knocked the ball out of the park like she always does. And, this is going to be a start of a very big controversy about how people can access traveling to Cuba.
Well, it certainly would be terrific for Cuba.
You've been, right?
I have indeed, and you most certainly cannot travel directly from the United States to Cuba. Many people will come via Canada, the UK, or in my case, Mexico. Let's hope, though, that they do relax the visa conditions so that more people from the United States can indeed travel to Cuba. The Cuban economy would no doubt welcome that, most definitely.
Absolutely. I think that's why the Americans, ever since the Bay of Pigs, it happened in JFK's time, didn't want American money propping up the regime, the communist regime. They were worried about the domino effect and blah, blah, blah. But this is a long time since. Yeah. And with countries such as Russia and China very much so embracing a free market economy instead of the old socialist, Trotskyist, Marxist.
The Cold War is over.
Not with our friends north of Seoul.
Well, we don't have enough time today to talk about that. We've got through another hour of the Escape Pod where we have been so far away from this grey day in Melbourne.
We've been up in the air and we've been trotting around. We've been doing a lot of different things.
We've been lunging.
Chris has been urging us to lunge while he was trouncing around in his cobalt blue lycra hot pants to physical.
With leg warmers.
And high kicks. Yeah.
Now, I have a very quick question before we go.
Question away.
I have an opportunity to spend one night or two in Munich in June. What do I do, one night or two?
I think you could take the cue from, I think it's the Mariana Storm, I think that's what it's called, the largest cathedral in Munich that has two domes on the top of it, and take two nights. Munich is one of the most amazing cities in Germany. I went to school not too far from there. I was over closer to France, but Munich has to be one of the most amazing cities in Europe. The Munichers are a huge bunch of fun. They are very educated. It's a very wealthy city. There's a lot of stuff going on all the time. Phenomenal art scene, phenomenal bar scene. The Bavarians are very agrarious, wonderful people, very engaging. And I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice to spend less time in Munich when you could spend more.
Well, that's it then. It'll be two nights in Munich, and maybe next week I'll come back to let you know where I'm going to stay.
Herzlichen Glückwunsch.
Grazie.
Bitte schön. So thank you all for listening into Escape Pod today. We really appreciate our listener, and and wish you all the best for any travels you'll be taking this week. Jo, what are you doing this week?
I'm going to stay safe in Melbourne this week and enjoy autumn.
I've got a very exciting week. I'm giving my Mikey card a thrashing, commuting up and down St Kilda Road. And by the way, well done to the guys the guys and dolls that put together the amazing Domain Interchange. It was worth that short-term pain for the long-term gain. Excellent work. The Domain Interchange looks amazing.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.